Welcome to Zichud Avsi. My name is Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim, Daf Chav Tes. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, after stating on Daf Chav Ches, the positions of the three Tanaim regarding if and when Chametz becomes prohibited, and what prohibition is violated during different time periods, the Gemara goes back to its initial difficulty in determining whose opinion is reflected in the Mishnah that states that a Jew's Chametz is forbidden after Pesach, but a Nachri's is permitted. Rav Acher bar Yaakov said that the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and he derives the prohibition of leaven regarding eating from the prohibition of leaven regarding seeing, meaning that just as one is restricted from seeing his chametz, but he may see the chametz of Nachum and Hekdesh, so too only your leaven you may not eat, but one may eat that of Nachum and Hekdesh. In fact, continues Rav Acher bar Yaakov, the Mishnah should have stated that a Nachri's chametz is permitted to be eaten during Pesach, but since it stated that a Jew's chametz is asir b'hana after Pesach, it contrasted it with a Nachri's chametz that is mutter b'hana after Pesach. The Gemara later proves that Rav Acher bar Yaakov retracted his understanding of Rabbi Yehuda's position. Point number two, the Gemara brings a braisa and cites five interpretations. The braisa stated, Ochel chametz shel hekdesh b'moed ma'al. One who eats chametz of hekdesh during Pesach has committed me'ilah. V'yesh omrim lo ma'al. And there are those that say that he has not committed me'ilah. Rav Acher bar Rav explained in the name of Rabbi Yosef that the machlokes is regarding b'davar agorim l'mamon k'mamon damim, whether something that can lead to a benefit of money is treated as though it's money now. The one who says that he who eats the chametz has committed me'ilah holds that it is treated as money now, since the chametz of hekdesh can be eaten after Pesach and therefore has value. The Yesh Omrim holds davar hagorm l'mamon lav k'mamon dami, that something that can lead to a benefit of money is not treated as though it is money now. Therefore, the person didn't commit an act of me'ilah on something of value. Rav Acher bar Yaakov provides another interpretation from which the Gemara proves that he retracted his original understanding of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. In point number three, the Gemara presents three opinions regarding the halachas of mixtures containing chametz. Rab holds chametz bezmano ben bemino ben shelo bemino aser. If chametz is mixed with permitted foods on Pesach, then whether the chametz is mixed in with its kind or not, it's forbidden. After Pesach, it's only forbidden bemino in its kind, and it's permitted mixed with something that's not its kind, provided that it's not nosentam. It's too minute to impart flavor to the mixture. Shmuel holds that during Pesach, bemino aser, shelo bemino mutter, it's prohibited with bemino, its kind, but permitted with not its kind, provided that's too minute to be nosentam, to impart flavor. After Pesach, the mixture is permitted with its kind and not its kind, provided that's not nosentam. Rabbi Yochanan holds, chametz bezmano ben bemino ben shelo bemino aser benosentam. The mixture is aser during Pesach with its kind and not with its kind, if it imparts flavor. And after Pesach, it's permitted with food of its kind or not of its kind. The Gemara brings a rationale for each of these opinions. So once again, the 3 points are number one. After stating on Daf Chav Ches the positions of the three Tanaim regarding if and when chametz becomes prohibited and what prohibition is violated during these different time periods, the Gemara goes back to its initial difficulty in determining whose opinion is reflected in the Mishnah that states that a Jew's chametz is forbidden after Pesach, but a Nachri's is permitted. Rav Acher bar Yaakov said that the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and he derives the prohibition of leaven regarding eating from the prohibition of leaven regarding seeing, meaning that just as one is restricted from seeing his chametz, but he may see the chametz of Nachrim and Hekdesh, so too only your leaven you may not eat, but you may eat that of Nachrim and Hekdesh. In fact, continues Rav Acher bar Yaakov, the Mishnah should have stated that a Nachri's chametz is permitted to be eaten during Pesach, but since it stated that a Jew's chametz is asir b'hana after Pesach, it contrasted it with a Nachri's chametz that is mutter b'hana after Pesach. The Gemara later proves that Rav Acher bar Yaakov retracted his understanding of Rabbi Yehuda's position. Point number two, the Gemara brings a braisa and cites five interpretations. The braisa stated, Ochel chametz shel hekdesh b'mod ma'al. One who eats chametz of hekdesh during Pesach has committed me'ilah. V'yesh omrim lo ma'al. And there are those that say that he has not committed me'ilah. Rav Acher bar Rav explained in the name of Yosef that the machlokes is regarding b'davar hagorm l'mamon k'mamon damim, whether something that can lead to a benefit of money is treated as though it's money now. The one who says that he who eats the chametz has committed me'ilah holds that it's treated as money now, since the chametz of hekdesh can be eaten after Pesach and therefore has value. The Yesh Omrim holds davar hagorm l'mamon lav k'mamon damim, that something that can lead to a benefit of money is not treated as though it's money now. Therefore, the person did not commit an act of me'ilah on something of value. The next interpretation of this braisa is brought by Rav Acher bar Yaakov, from which the Gemara proves that he retracted his original understanding of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And point number three, the Gemara presents three opinions regarding the halachas of mixtures containing chametz. Rav holds chametz bezmano ben bemino ben shelo bemino aser. if chametz is mixed with permitted foods on Pesach, then whether the chametz is mixed with its kind or not, it's forbidden. After Pesach, it is only forbidden in its kind, and it's permitted mixed with something that is not its kind, provided that it's not nos and tam. It's too minute to impart flavor to the mixture. Shmuel holds that during Pesach, b'mino aser, shelo b'mino mutter, it's prohibited with its kind, but permitted with not its kind, provided that's too minute to be nos and tam, to impart flavor. After Pesach, the mixture is permitted with its kind and not its kind, provided that it's not nos and tam. Rabbi Yochanan holds, chametz b'zmano ben b'mino ben shelo b'mino, aser b'nos and tam. The mixture is aser during Pesach with its kind and not with its kind, if it imparts flavor, and after Pesach, it is permitted with food of its kind or not of its kind. The Gemara brings a rationale for each of these opinions. All right, so now we go to our simon for Dav Chavtes, and our standard simon for Chavtes is a kot. A kot, so here goes. The chametz enthusiast who kept nachri chametz under his kot and hekdesh chametz in the closet could even discern a mashahu of chametz in a mixture that didn't impart taste. Once again, in slow motion. The chametz enthusiast who kept nachri chametz under his kot. Kot? That must be more Dav Chavtes. The chametz enthusiast who kept nachri chametz under his kot, which reminds us, Rav Acher Yaakov said that the Mishnah Dav Chavtes Amud Aleph reflected the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Yelech Sor Dechil Mesor Deria, and he derives a prohibition of leaven regarding eating from the prohibition of leaven regarding seeing, meaning that just as one is restricted from seeing his chametz, but he may see the chametz of Nachum and Hekdesh, so too only your leaven you may not eat, but one may eat that of Nachum and Hekdesh. In fact, continues Rav Acher Yaakov, the Mishnah should have stated that Nachri's chametz is permitted to be eaten during Pesach, but since it stated that Jews' chametz is aser b'hana after Pesach, it contrasted it with a Nachri's chametz that is mutter b'hana after Pesach. The Gemara later proves that Rav Acher bar Yaakov retracted his understanding of Rav Yehuda's position. So the chametz enthusiast who kept Nachri chametz under his cot and hekdesh chametz in the closet, which reminds the Gemara brought up Raisa that said, "Ochel chametz shel hekdesh b'moed ma'al." One who eats chametz of hekdesh during Pesach has committed mi'ilah v'yesh omrim lo ma'al. And there are those that say that he has not committed Me'ilah. And one of the five interpretations of the Brisa is brought by Rav Acher bar Rava, who explained in the name of Rav Yosef the Malchokis regarding B'davar HaGorm L'Mamun K'Mamun Dami. Whether something can lead to a benefit of money, it's treated as though it's money now. The one who says, the one who eats the chametz has committed Me'ilah holds that it's treated as money now, since the chametz of Hekdesh can be eaten after Pesach and therefore has value. And the Yeshomim holds B'davar HaGorm L'Mamun Lav K'Mamun Dami. That something that can lead to a benefit of money is not treated as though it's money now. Therefore, the person did not commit an act of me'ilah on something of value. So the chametz enthusiast who kept nechri chametz under his cot and hektish chametz in the closet could even discern a mashu of chametz in a mixture that did not impart taste. Which reminds us, the Gemara presents the opinions of Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan regarding the halachas of mixtures containing chametz. So once again, the chametz enthusiast who kept nechri chametz under his cot and hektish chametz in the closet could even discern a mashu of chametz in a mixture that did not impart taste. All right, now it's time to go to our four-block back Chazara. Dav Chaf Hei. So the Simra Chaf Hei is a silver anniversary. The husband's dream silver anniversary party. Silver anniversary party? That must be more Dav Chaf Hei. The husband's dream silver anniversary party, where he intended to declare he loved his wife with all his soul and possessions, which reminds us that Rabbi Ezer teaches the reason why the Torah states that one's love for Kodesh Baruch Hu should be b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol me'odecha is to cover people who love their life more than their possessions, as well as people who love their possessions more than their life. So the husband's dream silver anniversary party, where he intended to declare he loved his wife with all his soul and possessions, and that her blood was redder than his, which reminds us that the halacha that one should give up his life rather than commit murder is based on sfora, of Maichazis, the Damididach, Sumachtve, who says your blood is rather than someone else's. Since there's no way to know whose life is more precious to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's forbidden to take one life to save another. So the husband's dream silver anniversary party, where he intended to declare he loved his wife with all his soul and possessions, and that her blood was redder than his, was shattered when he realized that the only way to get there was by passing the base of Avodah Zorah, famous for its sweet-smelling incense, which reminds us of the Malchokas about Hana'a Habala Adam Balkorcha, a case of forbidden benefit that comes to a person independently of his will. Abai and Rava disagree only in a case of the Esher V'lo Mechaven, where it's feasible to avoid walking there, and though he doesn't, where it's feasible to avoid walking there, and though he does indeed go there, he doesn't intend to enjoy the benefit. According to Rabbi Yeshua, who holds davar sheinu miskaven usser, something that one does not intend is forbidden, all agree it's usser. They disagree with respect to Rabbi Shimon, who holds davar sheinu miskaven mutter, something that one does not intend is permitted. Abai says Rabbi Shimon would permit this case as well, whereas Rava holds that Rabbi Shimon only permits it in cases where it's not feasible to avoid the activity altogether. He would not permit it in this case, since taking an alternative route is feasible. Dav Chavav, so the symbol Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The troops, that must mean we're on Dav Chavav, military coup. The troops hiding the shade of the Heichal wall, which reminds us that from the fact that Rabbi Yochim and Zaka would sit in the shade of the Heichal and teach Torah to the masses is not a proof that Rabbi Yehuda holds that in the case of Dolev Shebecham Echavin, that what is unavoidable but one intends to enjoy is permitted. As Rav explained, that benefiting the shadow cast by the Heichal is different, Dolosochu Asui, because the Heichal is made primarily as protection for what's inside of it. Therefore, the shade it provides to what is outside of it is deemed an unusual form of benefit, and therefore it's permitted. So the troops hiding the shade of the Heichal wall were enjoying the base of Mikdash sounds, appearance, and aromas, which reminds us that Rapapa explained that what Bar Kapara meant when he said the sound, appearance, and aroma are not subject to Me'ila was Kol Umara Ein Behem Mishum Me'ila, the sound of musical instruments, and the appearance of the Heichal are not subject to Me'ila because they have no substance, and the Reach from the Ketores after its column of smoke rises is not subject to Me'ila, Hoyovanasis Mitzvaso, since its required procedure has been done. And Rashi explains that Me'ila only applies to Kadshi Hashem, the Holies of Hashem, and once the mitzvah has been done and the smoke rises, the aroma is no longer considered Kadshi Hashem. So the troops hiding the shade of the Heichal wall were enjoying the base of Mikdash sounds, appearance, and aromas, while blowing up new ovens in the distance that were fired up with oral appeals. Which reminds us, the Gemara resolved the contradiction between two brises, where one said a new oven that was fired up with oral appeals needs to be smashed, and the second brise stated that it just required cooling down before the next use. The first brise was going according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds, Zev Zeh Gorem Aser, the joint product of forbidden and permitted causes is forbidden. The forbidden cause is the initial forbidden oral appeals contained in the oven, and the permitted cause is the subsequent permitted wood. The second brisa reflects the opinion of the Rabbanan who hold Zev Zeh Gorem Mutter, the joint product of forbidden, and permitted causes is permitted. Dav Chav Ches, the Simmer Dav Chav Ches is a strong man. The strong man, that must be more Dav Chav Ches. The strong man showing off his strength by crumbling chametz in one hand while grinding avodah zorah in the other, which reminds us that the Chachamim disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda regarding burning chametz and stated, Mafar avazorah laruach umatil yam. He crumbles the chametz and scatters it to the wind or casts it into the sea. And the Gemara inquired if that means the chametz must be crumbled whether it's thrown into the wind or cast into the sea, or means they must crumble it to scatter it to the wind, but he may cast it into the sea intact. An apparel inquiry was made regarding a mission that discusses destroying avodah zorah using similar language. Rabbi holds that the avodah zorah being thrown into the Yam HaMelech doesn't require grinding, but chametz thrown into the rivers does. Rav Yosef says the opposite. The avodah zorah, which doesn't dissolve, requires grinding, but chametz that does dissolve does not require crumbling. So the strong man showing off his strength by crumbling chametz in one hand while grinding avodah zorah in the other was embarrassed when he was told that the chametz belonged to a nachri, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states, chametz shel nachri she'avra lav pesach mutter b'hana. Chametz belonging to a nachri after Pesach has passed is mutter b'hana, while Yisrael asr b'hana, but chametz that belonged to a Jew over Pesach is asr b'hana, she'ne'amar lo yarocha sa'or, as it says, leaven shall not be seen to. Rashi cites the Gemara's conclusion that the pasuk cite as the reason for the ruling, meaning that the Jew's chametz is forbidden because he's penalized after having transgressed the prohibition against having it in his possession over Pesach. So the strong man showing off his strength by crumbling chametz in one hand while grinding avodah zorah in the other was embarrassed when he was told that the chametz belonged to a nachri and that he better relearn the three shitas regarding the iser chametz. Which reminds us that it's a three-way machos between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Yossi Aglili regarding when a chametz is aser and what one is liable for. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos and Erevin. Number 1. Which daf do we discuss why the pasuk in Kriyat Shema states both B'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha, that's on daf? Chafhe, good. Number 2. Which daf do Malchus Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan whether a new oven fired up with a forbidden substance needs to be destroyed or not? That's on daf. Chavav, good. Number 3. Which daf do we have a three-way malchokas regarding the Isser Chametz? That's on daf. Chavches, good. Number 4. Which daf did Rav Acher bar Yaakov initially say that Rabbi Yehuda held that one could eat a Nachri's Chametz on Pesach, but then he retracted? That's on daf. Chavtes. Good number five, which daf do the Mishnah regarding Chametz Sha'avar of a Pesach for that of a Jew and that of a Nachri? That's on daf Chavches. Good number six, which daf do the Malkos regarding crumbling Chametz versus crumbling Avodah Zorah when being thrown into water? That's on daf Chavches. Good number seven, which daf do learn that wood that is consecrated for Shlomi does not become Chuan when one is Ma'al, or Kun Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Mio does not apply to Shlomi? That's on daf Chavzayin. Good number eight, which daf do Malkos whether one who ate Chametz of Hekdesh over Pesach has committed Me'ilah? That's on daf Chavtes. Good number nine, which daf do learn that Rabbi Yehuda's Kal v'chomer from Noser to prove one must burn Chametz wasn't valid because it resulted in a leniency? That's on daf Chavzayin. Good. And number 10, which daf do we have a three of machlokas regarding a mixture containing chametz? That's on daf Chavtes. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one, which daf do we learn about seawater entering a breach in a chatzer? That's on daf Yud Beis in Erevin. Good. Number two, which daf do we learn about one who wakes up with a pasuk in his mouth? That's on daf Nun Zayin and Brachas. Good. And number three, which daf do we discuss the letters in the words Emes Vesheker? That's on daf Kuf Dalet and Shavas. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.